as with many things, some would say most things, change happens very slowly. And it's been a period of many decades, especially here in the United States, to where PTSD has gone from something that I think people were made to feel shameful about to the exact opposite direction, to where now it's widely accepted that this is a traumatic cost of many different aspects of service that soldiers have, as well as police officers, but also perhaps it comes from sources that we don't even think about. So I guess that's going to be our topic today, is just this new look at PTSD and how to treat it.
Well, exactly. We've really made huge inroads over the past, 30 years or so of not only doing a better job of identifying post-traumatic stress disorder and recognizing that people from all backgrounds and occupations can experience it. Yes, our first responders and individuals in the military are more at risk with combat exposure or the nature of their jobs. And so we've done a better job of recognizing it. And I think most importantly, we've developed some really wonderful treatments that are now available to help people who are experiencing symptoms of PTSD. So, I think the goal in a conversation like this is to maybe help make the connection between, what someone might be experiencing and identifying that these could be indicators of PTSD, and helping folks get connected with evidence-based treatments that really can make a fundamental difference in someone's quality of life.
Can you point to a particular period of years that attitudes about PTSD and treatment methods started to change in this country?
Well, I think it's probably part of the broader shift we've seen in recognizing that mental illness, they're medical disorders, that this is not a question of willpower or strength. It's something that all of us could be susceptible to. And I think that's a really important thing to get out front, because there are often, there's this persistent belief of psychological difficulties as a moral failing, right? That there's just something, if people were stronger, if they were more sort of resolved, then it wouldn't happen to them. And nothing could be further from the truth. We know that, PTSD and other psychological disorders really can show up across all individuals. And in fact, sometimes it's the strength might make someone more at risk in a way, because we know that one of the core mechanisms of PTSD is this idea of avoidance. After a traumatic event, it's natural to not want to talk about it or re-experience it, to kind of put it in the past. But sometimes one way that we can see sort of PTSD symptoms develop or sort of worsen is that the more someone works to push it away or to not have that experience, the more power those memories and experiences start having in their life. So this isn't something you can will away, or that if you were just strong enough, it wouldn't be there. It's an unfortunate psychological reaction to trauma. And what we know in this country is, unfortunately, trauma exposure is not all that rare. In fact, if you look at all of the varieties of possible trauma, from natural disasters to motor vehicle accidents to combat exposure, physical sexual assault, we know that about 90% of Americans at some point in their life will experience at least one traumatic event. Now, fortunately, most do not go on to develop PTSD. The lifetime rates of PTSD are hovering below 10%. But that's still a substantial minority who really will go on and develop some pretty severe psychological symptoms that are in need of treatment.
Is it easy and or common to misdiagnose the symptoms of PTSD for something else?
I think so, and historically we've certainly have had some challenges with that. Often individuals with PTSD are incredibly frightened. Their world is incredibly distressing, where memories and experiences, this trauma, are coming back. Even sleep may not be safe, because nightmares could bring back the trauma. And so it's not unsurprising then that many individuals might, seek out alcohol or other drugs to help numb or push away, might have real intense anger or fear and anger reactions to this sort of experience. So I think sometimes we fixate on sort of the wrong set of symptoms. We might see someone who's angry, lashing out at the world, feels disconnected, and think not have PTSD come to mind, but really that sort of expression is unfortunately quite common. So I think it's about helping make the connection and see that, when you see someone who's angry, who might be using alcohol or other substances to numb, that there could be something underlying that. And then PTSD often can be one of the disorders that we look for there. And like I said, though, the good news is that we have ways of helping. And we actually really have some wonderful short-term therapies that are available now that can offer some pretty significant chance of symptom relief. Now, it's no guarantee, and not every treatment works for everyone. But one of our core treatments is called prolonged exposure. And the idea is to help an individual who's developed PTSD reclaim that memory back into their life. So some of the core features of PTSD are intrusive re-experiencing of the trauma memory. It's coming back whether they like it or not. And so therapy is about, well, helping them re-experience it willingly on their own terms and really taking the power away from the memory. There's nothing we can do as treatment professionals to make trauma okay. We can't go back and change an event and make it not be a trauma or not be terrible. We can't do that. What we can do is help someone get to a place where the memory doesn't have to have that same power, and that there's more opportunity in their life to move past the memory. And we do that by really focusing in on it. So the treatment is incredibly intense. It involves retelling repeatedly details of the trauma over and over until the words kind of lose some of their power. And oftentimes when individuals do that, they get an opportunity to learn new things about the event. One thing we know about trauma memories is they tend to be somewhat fragmented, and we might not have a full account of what really happened. And so oftentimes individuals with PTSD might experience guilt, blame themselves for something that happened, that if we spend the time and help them go back and really look and see what's there, they might learn new things and learn that not only is the memory not dangerous, but also that, you know, what they thought happened or the role they thought they played might not be exactly what happened, and helps them kind of get a new perspective on their life and get re-engaged in their life in meaningful ways here and now.
For patients who find it difficult, especially at the beginning, to confront these memories, are there time-tested tools that you can use to help to open them up a little and make them more receptive to the experience?
Well, absolutely. And one of the first keys to therapy is about having a good, you know, open and honest relationship with your provider. So, right, this is something where we would start by doing quite a bit of preparation. We would help educate someone about how the treatment works and the science and support behind it. And we would help develop sort of an individualized plan for them for the treatment. So that might include teaching some skills like grounding techniques, for example. One thing we know in some individuals with PTSD, they can often feel dissociated, where they might disconnect from the present and feel as if they're back in the trauma occurring again. So we might help them develop psychological skills to reconnect with the present by, you know, maybe something as simple as wiggling the toes in their shoes and sort of feeling the here and now, connecting to the present. We might teach skills to help manage the stress so they can go on with their day after treatment. And so we would do that sort of work ahead of time so that when it came time to, you know, face the memory and really dig into this work, someone knows that they would be supported, they'd have a good and solid relationship with their provider, and they would have a psychological toolkit to use to help them through the experience. And the treatment tends to be relatively brief. Our two core treatments, prolonged exposure and cognitive processing therapy, tend to be, you know, in most 3 or 4 months. Now, it's intensive work. It often has work outside of sessions. But, you know, in that short period of time, individuals can find a way of reconnecting with their life, oftentimes seeing these PTSD symptoms go down. And you know, I think just as importantly, finding that they're able to spend more time with people they love and can kind of go back into the world, maybe to places that were off limits to them because of the trauma. Whether that's, you know, going back into crowds or going to their son's baseball game or getting out in the world in ways that maybe were off limits. That's one of the key things we work on, is helping people really reclaim their life after trauma and get connected back into the world that matters most to them.
And perhaps there are people listening now who have been moved by what we've spoken about and feel that perhaps they could seek treatment. Are there online resources or a first step they could take?
Absolutely. And the National Center for PTSD that's run from the Veterans Administration has a wonderful website that gives resources. And if there are any veterans who are listening, you know, the VA has wonderful treatments that are available. And really, you know, calling your local VA or getting connected, we can find a way to get you connected with a provider who can help provide these treatments.